Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm really delighted to have my good friend and my boss, longtime partner in mission, Ralph Martin, with us again on the program. Welcome, Ralph.
Pete, it's great to be back with you again. It's great to be speaking God's Word again with you and romping in the Word.
Yeah, that's very good. I've asked Ralph to come, friends, to be with us this week to give you just a little bit of a taste of something that we've been diving into together with some other young men that you've actually heard on the program, if you're regular listeners, Pete Burak and Joey McCoy. The four of us just started reading the Bible, going through the Gospels with a particular focus, and I want Ralph to kind of orient you to what we've been doing, because it's been an amazing experience for us just digging into the Word of God together. So why don't you give a little background and kind of situate
sure.
it for us?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, Peter, we've been noticing is that there's a huge deception going on right now in the church and the world. And it's sort of like, hey, God's so merciful, nobody will be lost, you know, and let's not sweat, stuff like that. Sort of like everybody wins in the end and all that kind of stuff. And it's just not true.
Yeah.
So we got this huge deception that's really causing people to make decisions in their life that really aren't wise decisions. And God's Word is so clear, saying that there are consequences and that the amazing gift that God's giving to us in Jesus shouldn't be neglected. You know, like Jesus has been given to us for a reason, to save our lives and to give us eternal life. And if we don't pay attention to Jesus, and if we don't believe in His Word, and if we don't obey it, we're lost.
Yeah.
That's what Scripture says, and it doesn't say just once or twice or 10 times or 20 times. It says hundreds of times. And so we've been doing that in our Bible study together, and it's just really pretty amazing. I've always known that this is a huge deception. I've been kind of addressing it for many years, but as we've done our Bible study, it's even more shocking to me. It reminds me of that series you did with Peter Kraft called Jesus Shock.
Yeah.
It's kind of shocking who Jesus is and what He really says, and it kind of shakes us up. You know, we're all being shaken up. Our view of reality, our view of the world, our understanding of God's Word is really being challenged in a really good way. And it reminds me of what Jesus says, that you've been made clean through My Word. In some ways, our thinking is being cleaned up. You know, as we address God's Word, you know, our hearts are being cleaned up. We're being purified by really looking squarely at what Jesus says about the consequences and not responding to Him.
Yeah, and so the thing that we decided, basically what you're saying, is we asked one question. We want to see the passages where Jesus talks about the eternal consequences of either accepting or not accepting Him, right?
Yep, that's right, yeah. Should we dive in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Well, we started with Matthew's Gospel, and it took us a long time to get through Matthew's Gospel. And I'm not going to obviously have time to do all the things we did in Matthew's Gospel. I'm going to start with just a few texts here. First one is Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. So this is John the Baptist talking. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Hey, hey. That's
you snakes, he's saying, you snakes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Who tipped you off that this is a way of avoiding the judgment of God? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and every tree therefore that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now the amazing thing, Peter, is that today, the reading in the Gospel, and we didn't plan this, it just happened, is Jesus saying the same thing. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruit you will know them." This is Jesus exactly endorsing what John the Baptist is saying here. He's saying, you know, if your repentance is real, change your life. You know, stop cheating, stop lying, stop oppressing people. You know, change your life, you know. And there's real consequences. If you don't bear the fruits of repentance, he says, your tree is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. And Jesus says the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. He says the same thing in those beautiful passages in John's Gospel, where he says, you know, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. But if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the fire.
Yeah. So, and it's very clear that he expects us to bear fruit. And the fruit bearing will happen if we really do repent with our hearts and seek his help in living out the first commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. This is the fundamental thing Jesus is going after. And he's saying, if you don't pay attention to this, if you're not doing this, the consequences of it are great. And so the fruit bearing is just a living sign of the reality that I have decided by God's grace to abide in Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to live in his word. It'll happen if we do it.
To obey Jesus, I mean, it's like there's a gift coming. There's an opportunity being given. But if you don't receive the gift, if you don't avail yourself of the opportunity, you're sort of cutting her off from, you're cutting yourself off from the forgiveness of your sins. You're cutting yourself off from eternal life. You're cutting yourself off from even life in this earth in a way that really works for you.
Well, Ralph, as we begin to get in these passages, some things are coming to my mind. Like often here, I mean, first of all, these passages are often avoided. But the church doesn't talk about them very much because people feel like, well, if you talk about eternal consequences, you talk about the reality of hell or the cost of not responding to Jesus, it's really going to discourage people. Or they're going to say, well, you know, that's not the Jesus I know. Some people say that. Yeah. They'll also say, well, you have God's love on the one hand, which is his mercy, but yes, you also have these hard words. But everything Jesus says is love.
Yeah.
It comes from love. It's for love. It's about love. And even scholars, Ralph, will talk about somehow marginalize the potency to somehow not acknowledge the depth at which Jesus is speaking. And that all of the, could you just say something about how all of this is God's word? Like, how do you approach it? How should people approach this as we talk about it this week now, both to receive it, but also to understand its importance and its clarity?
Yeah, well, listen to what the Catholic Church officially teaches about how we're supposed to take God's word. In Vatican II, in the Constitution on Sacred Revelation, Section 11, it says, everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, and to teach faithfully, firmly, and without error those truths which God consigned to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. So what the Catholic Church is saying is that when there's a clear assertion in Scripture, that's the Holy Spirit, and it's teaching faithfully, firmly, and without error those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. So this stuff is there for our salvation. Now, the reason why it's so tough, you might want to say, is that Jesus is trying to wake us up. I mean, he's trying to get our attention because there's a darkness in our mind. There's a corruption in our will. There's an influence of the world in our life that we scarcely are aware of. We're being formed by this synergy between the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in order to break through, Jesus is saying, guys, wake up. You don't understand your situation. You don't understand the darkness you're in. You don't understand the path you're on. You don't understand where it's heading. Come on, grab a hold of me. I'm here to save you. Be one spirit and one body with me. Pay attention to my word. I want to lead you back to the Father's house. And the only way you can get back to the Father's house is to take a hold of me.
Yeah, no, it's so good. And to be able to approach the Scripture and take the plain words of Jesus as his direct words. He was speaking to fishermen, he was speaking to crowds, he was speaking to ordinary people.
Yep.
This book is not a scholarly book, in other words. I mean, there's deep penetration and mystery in it, and scholars can plumb the depths of it. But the bottom line is Jesus is speaking to everybody through this, and he means what he says.
Absolutely. Listen to what St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. So Paul's saying, I was inspired by Jesus. Jesus appeared to me. I was knocked down on the road to Damascus, and God showed Jesus to me, and he infused me with an understanding of who Jesus is. And when I'm preaching to you, and when I'm teaching to you, and when this is preserved in the apostolic writings here, this is not just the word of men. This is the word of God. And if you accept it as the word of God, it's going to do a work in you. It's going to bring transformation in your life. So there's such a difference between the skeptical approach to Scripture that so many people have imbibed through half-baked Scripture scholarship. People have heard, well, it's been edited, well, it's developed over time, there's different layers, you know, we're not sure about the authorship of certain Scriptures. But what the Catholic Church is saying, from the earliest days, the churches founded by the apostles have preserved their teaching, have preserved their writing, and that what we have here is a reliable account of who Jesus is and what he said, and the infused Holy Spirit understanding that was given to the apostles so they could preach and teach the message of salvation. Mm-hmm. So what we have here is really reliable. There are questions of literary form. When Jesus says, pluck out your eye, cut off your arm, he's using Jewish hyperbole. There is such a thing as understanding the form and the literary form of things, but there's so many clear assertions, and even when he speaks in hyperbole, he wants to break through us and make a point. Pluck out your eye if it causes you to sin, or cut off your arm if it causes you to sin. He's saying, take radical measures to turn away from sin, because sin is going to kill you. So even when it's the form of hyperbole, there's a very important message that Jesus is really underlying, saying, wake up, guys, take whatever measure you have to take to avoid sin, because sin is going to lead you to damnation.
Yeah. And so back to this, the passage that you began with, Ralph. So it says in verse 8, it said, bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.
Yes.
There's a lot just in that one line.
Yes, there is. And that's so applicable to us Catholics today, isn't it, Peter? Yeah. A lot of people say, gee, I'm a baptized Catholic. I'm fine. You know, I made my first communion. You know, yeah, I don't go to Mass very often. And well, I don't really make it a priority in my life. But hey, I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. You're not a serial killer. So I'm going to be okay. Now, again, Vatican II teaches very clearly in the Constitution on the Church, Section 14, it says, we shouldn't be proud of being a Catholic because it's been a gift. It's the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And if we don't obey it in word, thought, and action, not only will we not be saved, but we will be the more severely judged. So Vatican II's teaching is saying, it's not enough just to pat yourself on the back and say, I'm a Catholic. That's not going to save you. Even going to church isn't going to save you, but you need to believe and you need to act and you need to really take into your heart and form your life by the word of God in order to be saved. So nobody pays any attention to that. And yet John Paul II quoted it in his encyclical on evangelization saying, or it reminds you what the Jews used to say about, oh, the temple, we got the temple, we're the chosen people, man, we're cool, you know. Jesus prophets are saying, watch out, judgment's coming, you need to repent, you need to bear the fruits of repentance. Same thing today for us Catholics. You know, we can't kind of pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm a baptized Catholic, I'm going to be okay. No, we're not going to be okay unless we really pay attention to Jesus and obey his word and bear the fruits of repentance.
Yeah, and you can just see the quality, the importance of this whole passage. But John is saying, bear fruit that befits repentance. And what he's saying, Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
That's transformation. That's turning your whole heart to God and all its weakness and brokenness. And not only repenting of your sin, but radically pursuing Jesus in obedience is what he's saying. Then if that happens, as we said earlier, he said, don't presume you already have all that going.
Yeah.
If you do that the right way, your life will bear fruit and it will give witness to the reality of what you actually did in your response to God.
Right.
And if you didn't and you had presumption, the fruit's not going to be there. And he's saying it's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what today's gospel reading says in Matthew chapter 7. That's what Jesus says other times. He's saying, this is really serious stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a game.
Yeah. No, this is so good, Ralph. Boy, this show just went by in a hurry. Just have a few seconds left. I just want to mention, friends, that we're going to continue throughout this week to go through key passages throughout the gospel here of Matthew and other places where we discuss this. And I think you'll find it both enlightening, inspiring, convicting. It'll be good. Invite your friends to come and join us. Tell them, hey, Ralph Martin's on the show this whole week with Peter. Let's get as many people to listen to it as possible. But until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck and Ralph Martin saying, friends, let's let the Word of God wash us clean. Let the Word of God enlighten our hearts and minds so we can walk with renewed minds. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.